This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I was stopped on campus a couple times yesterday, and some people said, "So how did Dr. Crutchfield end up in prison? Like, tell me about that, you know?" And it's really a sad story, how that all occurred. And no, I'm just teasing. It didn't happen. I want to just clarify. Dr. Crutchfield was a friend of mine from growing up. We were in the same youth group together. Went to Capon Ray, a torchbearer school over in England, then in Austria together. And he has had an impact on my life. He's been a friend. And God used him and my brother and a number of other friends here to be iron sharpening iron. So I could tease him, but the reality is that I have probably more stories about myself I could tell. Let me just tell you one, that I was talking to Dr. Cooper yesterday, Nita Cooper, and it reminded me of something that happened on my student teaching. Anybody doing student teaching this year, an education program? Okay, some of you are going, so this is just a heads up for you, something happened to me. I was teaching up in Kannapolis, North Carolina. Maybe some of you from nearby there at A.L. Brown High School. I was someone out there, okay, Kannapolis, North Carolina. So I'm at that high school teaching Bible, and it was a great experience. But something happened to me about 3 weeks in where I didn't have a car up there, and the guy, there's another Bible teacher who was up there, and so he would drive me. But one day I'd stay after school to meet with students, and so he says, I've got to take off. So I said, I'll just walk home. It's about a mile and a half, 2 miles. But as I'm walking out of the school, I have this big stack of notebooks I had to grade, and I thought, you know what, this is going to be like a pain. And so I thought, I'm just going to knock on a door before cell phones. This is like back in the 1800s, you know, when I was here at CIU. So I said, there's all these cars in the street. There's got to be someone home. So I knock on the first door, nobody home. Go to the next door, nobody home. I'm like, what's up? Third door, I struck gold. You know, I knock on the door. They open the door, and the place is filled with people. They're all sitting in a circle, and I come in. They don't recognize me, so they all look at me, and I go, hey, didn't mean to interrupt a party or anything. And the guy looks at me and goes, this isn't a party. This is a funeral. And I was from the north. I didn't know that sometimes they did funerals in homes. And I look, sure enough, I said, I am so sorry. And I'm a student at Toccoa Falls College. And so just want to call the education people there. But I remember doing that, and that's just one story I could tell you of many. And Miss Phillips and Dr. Cooper still graduated me, and I'm very grateful. Jesus, you are with me right now, right? Amen. We've said so far this week that the greatest thing, the essence of the Christian life is this, that Jesus Christ lives where? In you, in me, that we have this treasure within this jar of clay, this brown paper bag, that we have this most extraordinary treasure that, you know, we were singing about the stars, all the stars will praise you, that the maker of all the stars, you know, when you think he calls them each by name, you know, there are more stars in the universe than there are words in the English language. And yet he has a name for everyone, that the maker of the stars and everything else would come and live not just among us, but in us. That's the Christian life, that Jesus Christ lives in us. The starting point is, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. If you have your Bible, Colossians chapter 2. I want to see how the Bible talks about this and how it's not just how we begin, but how we go on in our relationship with Christ. And so if you have your Bible or smartphone or however you read your Bible, let's look at that section of Scripture, Colossians chapter 2. And here's how you read it in the NIV. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says this, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him." The first word that defines a relationship with Christ is to receive Him, right? You receive Christ. That when you're confronted with the claims of Christ, you have a few choices. Number one, you can reject Christ, and Ignoring him is the same as rejecting him. Secondly, you can continue to seek for a time, and we never know how long we'll have to do that. And third, we can receive Christ. What he talks about here, you accept Christ. You receive Christ. You receive this treasure within. And that decision determines everything about your identity. I mean, if Christ is in you or if Christ is not in you, that's everything. You either have the treasure or you don't. You've either received Christ or you haven't. And so that makes this fundamental change in who you are as a person, how you live, why you live, and where you're going to spend all of yours tomorrow. So about a month ago, we had like 500 guys that gathered for an outreach at our church, and we have some professional athletes because we're nearby, you know, some of the like the Browns training facility, and so some of the guys come to our church. And one guy was, a few of the guys sharing their story that night of their faith in Christ, and the one guy got up, man, he was just like, he was totally passionate. And he told the men, he goes, guys, you are going to hear one of two things when you get to the, before, you know, when you die and you stand at the judgment seat, you're either going to hear one of two things. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come, enjoy. Or you're going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. And it all comes back to this first word here, have we received Christ? You might go, Jonathan, that's like, we're at a Christian college, you know. I don't take for granted that just because you're at a college like CIU, you know, means that all of us have received the treasure within. You might be newer here at CIU, and you say, you know, there's a relationship with Christ that some people here have that I don't think I've ever begun. I'm not sure I've ever taken this step and surrendered my life fully to Christ and received him into my life. I mean, I've checked a box, but I don't know that I can say I have the treasure within. I hope that before you go to bed tonight, that you'll take this first step and you will receive Christ. And you'll say, man, I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ lives in me. Paul says, receive Christ. But what's next? He says, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, there's a word that comes next that has really grabbed my heart of late, and for a couple of reasons. It grabs me because I keep on coming across this word in the New Testament. It grabs me because it addresses a tendency in my own life. And also, it sort of gets me because of the tragic drifting that we've all seen in some of those folks who have once walked closely beside us in our walk with Christ. So let's look at the verse again, and then I want to tell you a story about my first roommate here at CIU. Colossians chapter 2, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, what's the next word? Continue. Continue. Continue to live in Christ. Friends, here's the clear implication from that verse. If Christ is in my life, if I've received Christ, every day I have a decision to make. In fact, we sang it in that. I love that last song. I've never heard that last song you sang, but it says, every day, Lord, I want to choose you. Something like that in that opening line. If Christ is in my life, I have to make this daily ongoing decision. Will I continue? So my first roommate at CIU, I come to CIU and I'm in Memorial 3. We called it the zoo back then or something like that. I don't know if it still has that nickname. I'm up on that floor, and my roommate, great guy, and he inspired me. He was involved in ministry in Columbia. He just had this vivacious spirit. He knew like so many people on campus. And the guy had this love for Jesus. He'd be the kind of chapel, you know, raising his hands and praising the Lord. And so I was, man, Mark had an influence on my life. He knew Jesus. So about 5 years after he graduated, I was devastated to find out that he was in prison. And I thought, Lord, this is the guy. Like, what happened? That he had drifted to the extent, he had received Christ, but he had failed to what? To continue. You go, oh, that would never happen to me. But you know what? If you asked anybody like Mark or anybody else who has strayed and drifted, if you rewind the videotape and say, hey, did you ever think that that would happen? You know the guy I told you about yesterday, my pastor buddy who, you know, stepped down from ministry? If you asked him 2 years ago, if I would have told him, hey, do you love, could this ever happen? No, it's not going to happen to me. So then just as you receive the treasure, continue. Continue to live in Him. Friends, here's what we can say for sure. The Bible makes it clear that we have a clear choice. We have a choice whether or not we're going to live close to Christ. You know, I did a search of how often this word, because as God sort of grabbed my heart on this one, I wanted to see, as I'd been reading through Colossians, and I just thought, how many times does that word occur? And so let me just, you'll see these on the screen. I don't have to turn there, but there's a whole slew of verses like this. Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas talked with the believers and urged them to continue in the grace of God. They had a choice. Philippians 2, verse 12, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. 1 John chapter 2, and now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. It's not just friends like my buddy Mark, my roommate, who, you know, why don't you go, that's pretty drastic. You know, the guy's in prison several years after he graduates from CIU. But you know, there are other people I see in my church family who had been real plugged in. The guy in my small group who's now is just way on the periphery. The guy I used to play racquetball with who drifted away. And you see folks and you go, you step back and you go, what happened? They had the treasure. They received Christ, but something took place. They didn't continue. We have a choice. So let me ask you a question today. I think probably most of you would say, I've received Christ. I have the treasure within. But can I ask you a question? You're a great-looking group of people. You know, it's like church. You know, you come to church on a Sunday morning. How are you doing? Fine. How are you doing? You know, and everyone's fine. We're all good. And you go, how are you really doing? Like, what's really going on in your soul? Can I ask you today, what steps would you say, apart from class, apart from chapel, that you'd say, here are the steps that I'm taking to continue in Christ? That Jesus Christ for me is everything. That He knows that. That when you look at my life, if someone could look at my inner life, my private decisions that I make, that they would say that there is a guy who not only received Christ, but man, he's making choices every day to continue in Christ. You know, no one can make that decision for you. I make decisions that influence whether I'm going to grow or if I'm going to drift. You don't stay neutral. You're going one way or the other. You make decisions about whether you're going to grow or you're going to drift. The question is, what direction are you going right now? Could someone look at you and say, oh man, they're continuing. Absolutely. I mean, the treasure's becoming more and more real to them. Here's what Paul makes clear in these verses. He goes on. He says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so continue in Him. And we could say, if we continue in Christ, we'll go deeper. Here's how he goes on. He says, continue to live in Him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. He talks about being rooted. It's a great word picture because the Bible talks about this so much. Some of you have been out west. Maybe some of you live out west, like in a place called Arizona, and you see this kind of plant that rolls around, and he hasn't put that up the screen, and you could, and what do they call that?
Tumbleweed,
right? And it's sort of a plant, but does how much fruit does that produce? Zero. How much shade does it give? How much? You just go, there's just, it's not rooted. It just sort of tumbles around. It's sort of a worthless. If you have it in your back, you'd go like, oh, it's just tumbleweed. It's garbage, right? It's not rooted. There's no impact from tumbleweed. Just rumbles along. It's a little bit, well, it's not a little bit. It's a lot different from a solid, rooted, life-giving tree, right? With trees, this general rule is that the visible spread of the branches is roughly equal to the invisible spread of the roots, right? No roots, no fruit. You know, there's a direct correlation here. And the roots are this kind of deal where you can't really see what's going on, right? You just sort of know by looking. Jesus said, by your fruit, you'll know them. You can't know what's going on in private, but he says, you'll know by looking at the evidence that someone is rooted. Paul says, are you rooted and strengthened in Christ? Are you feeding? Are you nurturing your relationship with Christ? I want you to listen to this verse from Jeremiah. I told you this was throughout the scriptures. It's just a sense of being rooted. Jeremiah chapter 17 says this, that people who are walking with God will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream, does not fear when heat comes, its leaves are always green, it has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. You send out your roots to streams of water, the author says there. You spend time with Christ. You let his word soak into your life. And he says, when you do that, you don't fear. You don't, when hard times come, you never know when you're sitting in a seat like this what's going to happen down the road. I would have never known that my second child would be born with massive heart problems and end up with open heart surgery when he's 8 months old. And again when he's two and he faces another one. I would never have known that. So many things that we don't know that are going to happen in life. That my dad right now, my dad could die this week. I wondered, my mom, you know, I'm on the phone with her yesterday. She's in tears. She's going, Johnny, he's just going downhill like in the last 10 days. Taught a Bible class 2 weeks ago, can barely communicate today. We think the cancer he had a year and a half ago has gone back to his brain. How do we continue on? Rooted. Rooted. Built up in Christ. We continue. Jesus himself said that when we don't do this, he goes, well, listen to what he says in Luke 8. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word. They've received with joy when they hear it, but they have no what? No root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. They're like tumbleweed instead of being a tree. For Jesus, the key word was this, continue. No matter what, whatever it takes, continue. You know, I think what's clear is this, when he talks about this, he says, being rooted and strengthened in the faith. That doesn't just happen. That involves choices. So what are a few of the habits that, I mean, these are, you'd say, I'm not going to give any surprise here, but let me just apply this here a little bit, just to make sure we're on the same page. Set daily appointments with Jesus. Don't get so busy with classes. Don't confuse being in a Bible class with having time with God. My wife and I have something where we say, until we read the Bible in the morning, we're not going to read anything else. Not going to check Facebook, not going to check Instagram, not going to check email, not going to check the news, not going to check ESPN. Why? You go, that's pretty legalistic. No, I just want to make sure I've carved out time to say, I've got a treasure. Jesus, you're with me right now. Maybe for you it's helpful to journal. Journal your prayers. You go, I just can't focus. Write your prayers out. I remember doing that. I have journals that I kept here at CIU. I still have them. Where there would be times going through just journaling. God, here's what I think you're doing in my life. Jesus, just address them as prayers to him. Might mean you need to simplify a little bit where you go, I've got to cut back on some of the video games, or I have to cut back on something, another hobby, or I've got to, because I want to make sure that I'm letting my roots go deep. My daughter is a freshman in college at an intense program, and she sent me a text this morning. And, you pray for your kids, and here's what she wrote. She said, by the way, I've started a new plan to go to bed every night at 11, no matter what has been done. That way I'll prioritize better each night. I made a schedule for my days where I work out each morning, and I have a solid block of only studying each night. Then I schedule time from 7 to 7:30 and 10:30 to 11 each night for Bible reading, email, and talking to friends and family. That way I have 7:30 to 10 each night to only study, and a little time to relax on either side. I'm hoping it works out so I can start getting a healthy amount of sleep and stay more focused during the day. I'm reading that going, she's continuing. She's continuing. Your roots go down deep in Christ. You have habits that help you to stay connected. You say, I'm going to be connected beyond my family here at CIU. I'm going to be plugged into a local church. I'm going to get to know people in the community and say, God, I want to lock arms with others who are following after you. I could go on and talk about other things here, but you're going to find ways that you say, the decisions I make will determine the spread of my roots. I love this line from C.S. Lewis. I'm a big Lewis fan. He wrote a letter to a young girl less than a month before he died. And here's what he wrote. Her name was Ruth, and he writes, Dear Ruth, many thanks for your kind letter. It was very good of you to write and tell me that you like my books. What a very good letter you write for your age. If you, continue to love Jesus, nothing much can go wrong with you, and I hope you may always do so. If you continue. You continue to love Jesus. There's one more thing I need to mention, though. What I've seen in my own life and the lives of others as a pastor is that you can do all the right habits. You can be part of a small group. You can be serving in ministry. You can do all kinds of stuff. But something blocks your growth. Something hinders your continuing where you go, I don't know what's going on. And there's a verse in Hebrews that says this. It says, therefore, in light of this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and anybody remember the next word? The sin that so easily, entangles. And let's run. Let's continue. Saying the same thing. It goes, let's continue. But to continue, you have to not only have the right practices to grow your relationship with Christ, but he says you have to get rid of the sin that entangles. Now I'm just going a little bit deeper here today. Is there anything right now, a habit in your life, a practice that you'd go, I'm doing all the right stuff on this side, but there's a blockage in my life because I have a pattern of sin that's causing me to trip up, to get tangled up in the words of Hebrews so that I'm not continuing? Folks, here's the reality. If we don't actively move toward Christ, we're going to drift away. I have a friend who's in AA who put it this way. She told me, we either progress or we regress. We don't just gress. She writes, I've always held this close to my heart because it's so true. If I'm not growing closer to God and learning and changing, then I'm going backwards. When I read that, it reminded me of an explorer to the North Pole. I want to close with this. In the early 1900s, he was a Norwegian by the name of Roald Amundsen. And this guy charted his journey. He's on his way to the North Pole, charted his journey to ensure that he stayed on course through this white wasteland of wilderness. And at one point, a strange phenomenon began to occur as he checked his position. His instruments indicated that even though he was moving northward, he was actually further south than he had been an hour before. So regardless at the speed that he walked in the direction of the North Pole, like he's walking this direction, but he's moving further away from the North Pole. And he couldn't figure it out. You know what he realized? He found out that he was walking on a giant iceberg. And this iceberg was moving south even as he was moving north. He was continuing, but he was on this iceberg. And I thought, how many times in the Christian life do I think I'm taking the right steps, but I'm on this iceberg of sin. And this sin is taking me back further away from Christ, even while I think I'm doing the activities to take me closer. What do you need to do? You got to get off the iceberg of sin, right? You have to say, Jesus, because you're with me right now, because you're the treasure within, Jesus, I will say no to anything that dishonors you. I will release any habit, Lord, that blocks my growth. I will be done with anything that prohibits me from continuing with you. So the author says this, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue. Continue to live in Him. You're going to see a prayer on the screen here. My time is up, but I wonder if you would join me in praying this prayer as our declaration of intent to actively continue to pursue Christ and follow Him with all of our hearts. Would you stand with me and let's pray this prayer together? Ready? Let's say it aloud together. Lord Jesus, I want to continue with you today. Thank you for taking up residence in my life and having an interest in every part of my day. When I'm tempted to neglect you, I ask you to prompt me to think of you and to surrender my will to yours. Fill me with your Spirit and let my life be a pipeline through which your grace and truth can flow. I am yours, Lord, and with your strength, I will follow wherever you lead. By his grace and strength, may he make it so. God bless you. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore. or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.